Welcome to Bassmaster Radio, presented by Phoenix Boats, the show for fishermen by fishermen. Today's show is brought to you by Rapella, 13 Fishing, Omnia Fishing, and Visit Anderson, South Carolina. Now, here's your host, lifetime bass member, Tom Abraham.
Welcome to this week's episode of Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio on the Sports Byline USA Network and other fine stations around the country. I am Tom Abraham, your guide for the next hour as we feature the Bassmaster Elite Series and those looking to get into that exclusive group through the St. Croix Bassmaster Open Series and the up-and-comers on the Strike King Bassmaster College Series and tens of thousands of Bass Nation anglers around the country competing on the local level, all with a chance to advance to the big leagues of professional fishing. The Bass Nation operates youth, high school, and college programs, including a junior Bassmaster Championship, high school national championship, a college national championship, and a college bracket event that leads to a Bassmaster Classic berth. The Bass Nation is at the grassroots of who we are. And for more information on how to become a member or to start a Bass Nation club, visit Bassmaster.com, click on the Tournament tab, and select Nation. And to join the hundreds of thousands of members of Bass, just click on the membership tab. BASS members enjoy Bassmaster Magazine and exclusive access at Bassmaster.com. Now, the best way to communicate with the show is to visit our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/BASS or on Twitter at Bassmaster and use the hashtag Bass Radio. You can also listen to all the shows at Bassmaster.com/radio or just hit the Anglers tab at Bassmaster.com and click on Bassmaster Radio. Our first cast segment of the show is brought to you by 13 Fishing, and we have a great deal for you right now. The Gerald Swindle Design Meta Series Rods and Inception G2 Reels are available at Rapala.com along with all their other great products. And for a limited time, you could get 20% off your entire order by using the discount code BASSRADIO20. That's BASSRADIO20 only at Rapala.com. Now, I fish these rods and reels, and I fish all the Rapala products, and I could not be happier. Get 20% off with the code BASSRADIO20 on everything at Rapala.com. The Florida swing is over, and Corey Johnston just about lapped the field with a 21-pound win, mostly out of Salt Springs. Corey is coming up later in the Rapala winner's circle. Finishing second after a horrific day one was Brad Watley, and he's with us today as well to discuss his epic comeback. And in the leadoff role, another guy that's been on a roll, Jacob Fouts, who made the cut for the seventh straight event and finished third in his third top 10 in those seven events. So sit back, grab a cup of coffee, and enjoy this week's episode of Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network. At Phoenix Boats, everyone has a passion for bass fishing. From the founder and Elite Series pro Gary Klaus, down to the guy who affixes the final decal. Gary says, this passion has shaped our lives and it has brought about many of the fishing features that you see on the Phoenix today. Our goal is to make every boat that goes out the door the best fishing platform it can be in both design and construction for our customers. When I toured the plant, it was clear that Phoenix uses only the highest quality materials and that the craftsmanship was second to none. I'm Tom Abraham. And I too run a Phoenix boat and am extremely proud to carry the Phoenix logo on my gear. I've known Gary Klaus since he started the company, and what he, Teresa Johnson, and the rest of the team at Phoenix Boats have created is truly remarkable. The highest quality boats built by anglers for anglers. This isn't just a saying, it's a passion at Phoenix. View the entire lineup at phoenixboats.com and get started on yours today. Take it from me, it's time to experience the Phoenix difference.
Rapala is one of the most respected names in all of the fishing industry. The finest balsa wood baits with the best action, the DT series, the Brat Square Bills, and the Shad Wrap are all legendary. But did you know that Rapala also makes high-quality rain gear and every kind of fishing accessory you can imagine? Plus, under the Rapala family of brands, you'll find VMC hooks and terminal tackle, Suffix mono, fluoro, and braided lines, Terminator spinner baits, jigs, and frogs, plus the Storm Arashi line of baits. Learn more at Rapala.com. That's Rapala.com, and start catching more fish. fish.
Hey gang, Tom Abraham here for my friends at 13 Fishing. I can't tell you how excited I was to learn that two-time Bassmaster Angler of the Year, Gerald Swindle, had teamed up with the crew at 13 Fishing to build the ultimate rod and reel series that combines quality with a price point that works for all. And right now, we have a tremendous deal for you. The new Meta Series rods and Inception G2 reels are available at 13fishing.com. And for a limited time, you can get 20% off your entire order by using the discount code BASSRADIO20. That's BASSRADIO20, only at 13fishing.com.
Welcome back to Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
And welcome back, Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. We're kicking off our top three show here, coming off of the St. John's River and the Maxim Tire Bassmaster Elite at the St. John's River. And we start with our third place finisher, and that was Jacob Fouts getting it done in Robin Reservoir over the weekend, pretty much having Robin to himself. He ends up with 71 pounds, 6 ounces in this deal, wins $30,000 and continues a streak that he is on right now. 7 straight weekend cuts made, and he's also had 3 top 10s during that run, and he joins us now in the VMC Hook. Jacob, welcome to the show. How are you?
Tom, I'm doing good, man. How are you?
I am fantastic. You know, one of the themes today is momentum, because it seems like, you know, Brad Watley, who's coming up in the next segment, he has had 2 great tournaments in Florida. Corey Johnston, our winner this week, has been on a run ever since an open last year at the St. Lawrence. And then you yourself, you know, ever since St. Clair last year, you know, you have been on a roll as well. What is your thought about momentum and how that can carry over for a fisherman and his level of confidence?
Yeah, no, man, momentum is a huge deal in fishing. When you got it, you try to run with it as long as you can, and you know, however long that is, you just, like I said, you just try to run with it. Try to you know, when you got it, I feel like that's your best chance to win. Your confidence is at a all-time high. You know, you're not really thinking about a whole lot. You're just kind of fishing. So it's everything in fishing. It's a huge deal.
And it's fascinating to see how things turned around for you, because, you know, here you are, a Tennessee dude. You had your worst tournament as an elite at the Sabine River, you know, just 7.5 pounds there, and finished 100th. And, you know, your mind has to be scrambling at that particular moment in time. And then, boom, you go to St. Clair with a 6th, and then the Lake Champlain with an 8th. And you continue to run from there all the way to the point here where you finish 3rd at the St. John's. What turned around? I mean, do you have a come-to-Jesus moment with yourself? Or, you know, what do you think changes from the lowest of lows to this great run that you're in?
I mean, I don't know. It kind of got to a point for me where it was like now or never. You know, like, you know, I don't know how to describe it. I got, you know, the first 6 tournaments last year was probably the worst stretch of tournaments I've ever had in my life. And it was like, you're getting to a point where your confidence is at an all-time low, and you're starting to doubt yourself. You're starting to doubt if you belong, and then you get to a point where it's like, okay, it's either now or never, and caught him good there at St. Clair. And I mean, I don't know how to describe it. I just been fishing ever since. I you know, my confidence is good. I always feel like I want to catch him, and it's, like I said, I just been running with it, and it's been a lot of fun. You know, if I'd had a really good start this year, but yeah, no, I guess mentally I'm just in a much better space. I'm not worried as much. I don't worry as much, trying to stress myself out as much anymore, and just go fishing, because at the end of the day, it is just fishing.
You know, you had made a video that a lot of people jumped on regarding, you know, the state of professional fishing, and how if you're not winning the money, you know, you better have that sponsorship, you know, in place and so on. And you famously have not had a ton of sponsorship, not quite Steve Kennedy level, you know, where he does very, very little as well. But, you know, when you're on a run like this, the sponsors can't help but take notice. I mean, you know, this is something where really you can capitalize, it would seem, you know, with sponsors. If you have much interaction with those that want to jump on board with Jacob Fouts, since you're in the money every week now?
Yeah, no, I mean, not here during the season, not necessarily the stretch of tournaments. I had more come through because of the video, but mm-hmm. I hope guys are starting to take notice, and or the industry is starting to take notice that you know, I can compete at this level. I'm one of the best in the world, and you know, I feel like, and I hope people are taking notice.
Cause yeah,
like I said, there's still a lot of season left to go. So I mean, it's still early by all means. But And the way I see it, I'm just getting started, and I really do feel like I got a blue trophy coming my way here sooner rather than later. So we're going to keep at it here and keep proving we belong and making quieting the critics.
Yeah, well, it certainly looks like you belong, that's for sure. You know, and let's talk a little bit about the St. John's. I mean, you went into Rodman Reservoir. There were others in there at the on the first 2 days of the tournament. However, the area you were fishing, tell us a little bit about how you found that, because that area you pretty much had to yourself, and by the time you got to the weekend, nobody was over there but you, and you were still catching them.
Yeah, no, like so we had a shortened practice for this one because of the canceled day at the Harris Chains. We only had 2 days of practice, and first day of practice, I went up there because I felt like it fit my strengths a little bit better, and I've had previous experience on the river, and didn't really like it that much, so that was the first time I'd ever been up there. And within the first 2 hours of practice, I found an area. I saw a big school of them. I thought they were crappie, and I threw at them, and they ended up being big bass. And the area I was fishing was it's a really unique area. It's just a couple bends in the creek channel that's off the main barge canal there. And on the flat around those bends, there's a bunch of big depressions. And I mean, I think the biggest thing was the presence of bait. There was a pile of bait there, and in turn, there was big, giant schools of bass swimming anywhere from 20 to 50. So, it was just a unique area. The first day of the tournament, they actually come up schooling in front of me, probably 75 yards wide. I didn't see the full extent of what was there in practice. I didn't stick around long, but I was shocked that not more guys found it, because there was hundreds of bass there. I mean, hundreds.
Yeah. Yeah. And you were, you were doing it old school with a Yuzuri 3DB pencil, top water bait. And you were seeing them the way we used to see them on top, schooling, flopping around, and boom, you start firing that thing at them. And then you were also looking at them with the forward facing sonar and dropping that Strike King Z2 soft jerk bait on them as well. Just talk about alternating back and forth between two baits that are really so different.
Yeah, no, like I said, they were coming out schooling a lot. So when they came out schooling, you could fire a topwater in there and get them to commit. And then when they went down, you could just chase them around with live scope, and they'd still be in those big schools, and you could throw that minnow in there and get them to bite. But depending on how high they were in the water column, also depended on if I threw a minnow versus a topwater when they weren't schooling. The higher up they were in the water column, you could actually get them to come up on the top water. And all the bigger ones I caught were actually on top. So if I could get them to bite that was a deal. But the last 2 days, they got a little bit tough to catch on top. I ended up catching most of them on a minnow. But the first 2 days, most everything I caught was on top.
Yeah. What's your take on the whole forward-facing sonar craze and controversy? Obviously, it can get very expensive if you got these things wrapped all the way around your boat like some people do. But what's your thought on how it should be used at this top level of fishing?
Man, I'm one of those people who thinks it's the best thing since sliced bread. I don't understand guys that want to complain about it. If you don't like it, don't use it. You can compete without it, regardless of what anyone wants to tell you. There are guys doing it out on the Elite Series day in and day out. But man, it's such a great, great learning tool and allows you to be way, way, way more efficient. It's not taken away from anyone's skill. Not at our level anyway. Our guys can catch them with it or without it. And, it's become such a great tool. And like I said, it just makes us top level guys way, way, way more efficient. And I think it's a lot of fun. I think it's the greatest thing since sliced bread. I do think you should probably limit it to some degree. I think it's getting a little ridiculous, guys having four or five of them on their boat. Three up front, two in the back. I think that's getting a little bit outrageous, but you only need one, in my opinion. I'd be just fine with one. I think eventually they'll have some kind of regulation on it. It's not. I can probably tell you with 100% certainty it's not going anywhere. So,
No, it's not going to go away, but you're right. Maybe some sort of regulation would make sense.
I think it'll be restricted in some capacity.
Yeah. Jacob Fouts has been our guest. Jacob, we appreciate you so much. Top three, come on, Jacob, after every elite event. So hopefully, for your sake, we'll be talking again sometime later on in the year.
Yeah, hopefully we do this about 5 more times.
There you go.
Looking forward to it.
All right, man, appreciate you. That's Jacob Fouts, and I do believe that there is a blue trophy in his future, in a not-too-distant future as well. All right, we get a break in here. When we come back, Brad Whatley finished second in this deal. He's up next on Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.
Get more out of your BASS membership. The new members-only section of Bassmaster.com gives exclusive how-to tips from the world's best bass anglers, tournament video archives from past decades, an historic library of features from Bassmaster Magazine, and members-only brand discounts to save you money. Already a member? Current members get all this by logging in at Bassmaster.com/membership. Not a member? Don't miss out. Scan the QR code and join today. And we'll even throw in some free gifts.
There's so much to do, see, and experience in Anderson, South Carolina. Plan your next outdoor adventure with a visit to Lake Hartwell, boating, fishing, hike and bike the nearby trails, experience some history, and after, enjoy the numerous restaurants, shops, and experiences Anderson has to offer. Visit Green Pond Landing right there on Lake Hartwell, perfect launch point for pleasure boating, fishing, kayaking, or just a nice walk beside the water. Come see why Anderson is called South Carolina's Bright Spot. Check it out at visitanderson.com. That's visitanderson.com.
Welcome to Minnow King. How can I help you?
Everything looks good. I'm friggin' starving, man. Been spawning all morning.
Ugh, TMI, bro. What do you want?
I'll take a Crush City Freeloader and Gizzard Shad.
Anything to drink.
Water.
Pull ahead, please. Welcome to Minnow King.
We're gonna have what he's having.
Yeah, throw me in a Ned BLT, too.
Pull ahead, please.
Calm down. Quit feeding so much.
Hey, man, I'm trying to, man. If you
overfeed him, he's gonna hide under a log.
Welcome back to Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
And welcome back, Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. And as we continue in our top three show, all right, so Brad Whatley, he's a Texas guy. Texas didn't work out real good for him. He might want to be a Florida guy after what happened in Florida when he went to the Harris Chain and he was 10th there at the Harris Chain and then, of course, coming in second at the St. Johns River. He joins us now on the VMC line. Brad, what's going on here, man? Texas, you kind of sucked, okay? And then in Florida, you know, top 10s both tournaments. I mean, what's up with that?
Dude, I don't know. I suck bad in Texas. It doesn't make any sense. But that's just the way it goes sometimes. I don't think there's an answer for it. If it was, I'd figure it out. But Florida, for some reason, I just always catch them in Florida. And really, I guess nothing really changed this time. I mean, I caught them better than I ever have there. But Florida seems to like me for some reason.
Is there such a thing as momentum at all in professional fishing? Because I mean, the year didn't finish the way you wanted it to last year, and then you know you start out with you know a couple of tough ones in Texas at the at Lake Fork and at the Bend, and then you go to Florida, you know, 10th at the Harris Chain. You got to be feeling good about yourself there, make a decent check, and then boom, you know, you're right there contending for the win at the St. John's. Is there such a thing as momentum? Does it help with the confidence or anything?
It does, you know, and I'll tell you, of course, you know, all that the fans or whoever, whatever they see is the end day result. Mm-hmm. And only really the angler knows what happened in the boat that day.
Right.
And so, for example, Toledo day one, I didn't have a horrible day. I was in the cut. And what people don't see is day two. I mean, I just, you know, jumped them off, had some bad things going. So mentally in my head, it wasn't, hey, you know, you just didn't get on the fish. I just could not put them in the boat on day two. So I wasn't, you know, disturbed by that or down. I mean, it's just one of those things that happened. In Fork, I had a good day one at Fork. And day two, I just did not catch them at day two at Fork. So I really only had one bad day. And then, of course, St. John's, the weight was horrible on day one, but I had 20 bites. So I knew, you know what I mean? Does that make sense? Like, if you go out there and you just don't get bit, I mean, I've only had, honestly, one day where I just didn't get the bites, and that was the second day at Fork. So, that is, you know, mentally in your head, you know, hey, you're still doing the right thing, you know, and eventually things are going to go right. So, and of course, when things do go right, 100% it's momentum. That's any sport. When you're catching them, you know, I used to, even when I was just a local guy, you know, if I was catching them good, I tried to fish every tournament I could around, no matter where it was at, if I had any experience there, because when you catch them, you just know you're going to catch them. You know right. what I mean? Like, you show up, and it's like, I'm going to catch them. It don't matter what happens, I'm going to catch them. So, yeah, momentum helps for sure.
Yeah, and for those of you that don't know, Brad had just two fish on day one. For, you know, they were two good ones, decent ones, you know, 8 pounds, 9 ounces, but he just had those two fish on day one. Was there, you know, and then you come back with the 20-pound day on day two to get things straightened out, and then, of course, the Crush City Monster bag on day three with the 31-4, which was unbelievable. Was there an adjustment that you made between Thursday night and Friday, or is it just the execution? It was same deal, same areas, better execution.
It's the nature of the beast when you're dealing, in my opinion, with big ones. Mm-hmm. When you're around big ones, I really believe, yeah, you know, as an angler, you're always trying to make a little adjustment or a little thing to make them commit and blah, blah, blah. But in the end, most of the time, it's generally you're at the mercy of where they actually bite, where they actually bite. I mean, because I was still getting bit, you know, they just would not take the bait. And day two, I actually had less bites, but they took the bait, you know, and of course I had 20 and I got out of the area. And then day three was really the same thing. I mean, I left the area there once I had caught a good bag. And then day four, I really thought I was going to catch them there really, really well, because we got a weather change, you know, and I've been wanting some wind, and we finally got some wind, and just goes to show you don't know a dadgum thing about fishing, because, dude, I didn't hardly get a bite.
Yeah. Well, you had a good one to get things started. You know, you had that good one, you know, to get it started on Championship Sunday for sure. But, you know, in the end, I don't know if it makes a difference to how you feel about it when it's all over with, because if I'd have told you going in that you were going to finish second, win $35,000, get a bunch of points, move up above the cut line for the Classic, you know, you take that at that point. But in the end, you end up 21 pounds back. Corey's out there lapping the field. You were three fish short, you know, of a 20 fish limit for the 4 days, but they would have had to be 3 7-pounders. You know what I mean? It was like, it was the only difference here is whether or not you were going to finish 5 or 6 pounds back or whether or not you were going to finish 21 pounds back. You know what I mean? It was like it was meant to be for him on this tournament.
Yeah, 100%. No, that was Corey's tournament to win or lose. You know, I mean, you got a 14-pound lead now, you know, and I know, you know, he said he didn't sleep hardly that night before, and I imagine he didn't. I mean, that's a lot of pressure, you know. I mean, because you just cannot afford to blow one with a lead like that. So, you know, he probably would have slept better if he'd only had a 2-pound lead, you know, because he just went fishing. But when you got a 14-pound lead, like, you've got to win. You know what I mean? And if things don't go that way, then he probably wouldn't be able to live with himself knowing Corey after that. So, and me, obviously, I had zero pressure.
Yeah.
I mean, really, absolutely none. I mean, when you're 14 pounds back, dude, it's just another day of fishing, you know? So, that's really how I treated it. But yeah, I mean, like you said, I mean, would I have taken second going in? Yeah, I'd have taken second and never even wet a hook, you know, going in. But yeah. but after day one, that was and like, again, you know, like I've been asked 1,000 times. They're like, man, how, you know, mentally, how do you come back from that? You know, blah, blah. And I was like, well, you know, you may not mentally come back from it if you ain't on nothing or if you're not getting bit. But that's what I was saying. I mean, I still had 20 bites day one. I just put two fish in the boat and I knew they were big bites. You know, you know what I mean? So that's really the whole thing. I mean, I was around the right fish. They just, you know, just would not commit. So that keeps you in it too. I mean, because, you know, if you're around the big ones, I mean, you ain't got to bring 5 of them in.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, in reality, you bring 2 of them in, you're back, you know, you're back to par.
Yeah. Well, and for Corey, I'm sure by now you've seen it. He stops on a river in a lily pad field and snags a little 7.5-pounder to start his day off. And then now the pressure's gone. You know, I mean, now it's like, I mean, you got to be kidding me. You know that it's going to happen there. Brad Wiley with us here, Phoenix Pro Brad Wiley. Now, I got to be honest with you, man. Old school Bill Lewis rattle trap. Just you know, a man after my own heart there. I've fished that thing since the 80s. That one that you had tied on, that silver one with the chrome one with the blue back, looks like it was from the 80s. I got ones like that that are all scarred up and nasty and everything else. But, man, it just keeps working. That rattle trap just catches them no matter where you're at, what time of year. It's just a great, great bait.
I mean, there's – you and I both know, I think anybody in the fishing world knows, and not even just the bass fishing world. That's any type of fishing. I mean, there's no telling how many fish have been caught on a Bill Lewis rattle trap. You know, I mean, that sucker's caught a lot of fish. But, you know, what's crazy, like you said, that one looked like it from the 80s. That trap was only 2 days old. That's how well
it Well, it looked like it was from the 80s by the time you got done with the tournament. Yeah,
it had a few teeth marks on it for sure.
Yeah, no, that's good stuff. Now, we used to, back in the day, you're a little bit too young to remember this, maybe, but we used to drill them and take the hooks off, and you drill a hole through the top of it and then tie a treble on, and then that would be, you know, it would knock the bait up the line, you know, when you were hooked up with a fish. And then they came out with what they called the Pro Trap. Bill Lewis came out with the Pro Trap, and that's what it was. It had a hole through it and went right through the top of it and out the bottom, and it came with a treble. You tied your trebles on, and it was great. People didn't buy them. I mean, enough people didn't buy them, and so they stopped making them. I still have some Pro Traps. That's how much of a rattle trap guy, you know, I was back in the day. But, you know, that was kind of a cool thing, is that it would knock the bait up the line, and you'd just be one-on-one with the fish, you know, with the treble hook.
Yeah, I mean, so that sounds sort of, you know, similar to like a wing ding or whatnot. That's definitely something. Yeah. I guess that was before my time. I never actually saw that, but no, I could imagine that. Yeah,
that was.
And you ain't got to worry about the bait being in their mouth. So yeah,
exactly. Yeah, it was late 80s. Guys were drilling them, and it was when I first started tournament fishing, and then all of a sudden, Bill Lewis came out with the Pro Trap, and that was what the Pro Trap was, and I still have some of those old babies, and they are something, and there are a lot of lipless crankbaits out there, but still, man, the rattle trap is the standard. There's no doubt about it. All right, so you get a little break here. And then you head out. You go to Lake Murray and get this thing going. Now that you got the season pointed in the right direction, give me your thoughts going the rest of the way. And of course, you're going to have to get them. You're going to have to catch them up north. I mean, they make you do that. You're going to have to catch them up there to stay above this above this classic cut line.
Yeah, you know, and like we was talking a while ago, you know, I'm a realist too. I mean, I'm an optimist, but I'm also a realist, and I kind of try to balance that. And I mean, going into Murray, I pretty much know what to expect, I believe. You know, we were there last year, and I think I know what to expect, you know, to a certain extent. You never know fully. But, sure. Yeah, I mean, we're going to ride the momentum in that event. I mean, that is the one thing, like what I said earlier. I mean, if you're catching them, once that switch flip, you know, in your head and you go back to catching them, then you just ride it, you know, and you really don't ask any questions. And, you know, you can't do no wrong, really, a lot of times. So that's how I'm going to treat this. And as far as the northern events, you know, like last year, you know, it wasn't, and this is, you know, all mental in my head, which is the only thing that matters. It wasn't that I wasn't around fish or didn't figure out. I just had some problems. A lot of things did not go my way, and you know, that's the valleys of professional fishing, along with the mountains. You know, it's like I said. So I'm definitely not scared of up north. I mean, I love fishing smallmouth. It just, things don't go your way sometimes, and you know, that's part of it. But as long as you're mentally stable and feel like, you know, hey, even if you have a bad day, you know, hey, I'm still around them. Yeah. You know, things can right this ship quickly. Now the deal with up north is you can't have a bad day because there aren't 9-pounders swimming around to make it up.
Right. No doubt. Brad Watley has been our guest. There's no one hotter than him right now at back-to-back top 10s in Florida. Brad, I appreciate you so much. Keep up the good vibe, and we'll look forward to chatting again.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. That's Brad Watley. All right, coming up next, the champ, Corey Johnston, is next in Arapahoe Winner's Circle on Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.
Get more out of your BASS membership. The new members-only section of Bassmaster.com gives exclusive how-to tips from the world's best bass anglers, tournament video archives from past decades, an historic library of features from Bassmaster Magazine, and members-only brand discounts to save you money. Already a member? Current members get all this by logging in at Bassmaster.com/membership. Not a member? Don't miss out. Scan the QR code and join today. And we'll even throw in some free gifts.
It's your boy Seth Fighter, and I'm going to give you my picks for the Rapala Fantasy Fishing.
That's kind of where my picks are going, guys who are good little electronics.
Got a lot of experience. I think he led a day or two last year.
Post-spawn fish that are a little bit finicky. They've been, you know, hit pretty hard through the storm. They wanted to feed up.
But in bucket A, there was one name that jumped out on that list. Me!
There's so much to do, see, and experience in Anderson, South Carolina. Plan your next outdoor adventure with a visit to Lake Hartwell, boating, fishing, hike and bike the nearby trails, experience some history, and after, enjoy the numerous restaurants, shops, and experiences Anderson has to offer. Visit Green Pond Landing right there on Lake Hartwell, perfect launch point for pleasure boating, fishing, kayaking, or just a nice walk beside the water. Come see why Anderson is called South Carolina's bright spot. Check it out at visitanderson.com. That's visitanderson.com.
Tom Abraham here for my friends at North Alabama Mortgage. Did you know that average home equity is at an all-time high? But so is average consumer debt. Even though rates are higher now, you can use your equity to pay off your high consumer debt, student loans, etc., then refi when the rates drop. Don't put off that new home purchase. When rates drop, prices will go up. Buy now and get the best price and then refi when the rates drop. This is the time to talk to the experts at North Alabama Mortgage. Visit NorthAlabamaMortgage.com for more information.
Welcome back to Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
And welcome back to Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. Time now for the Rapala Winner's Circle. And man, you want to talk about a dude that's hot. We were talking about Brad Watley being hot just now, based on his two tournaments in Florida. How about Corey Johnston? I mean, you go back to the Open that he finished second in on the St. Lawrence last summer. He's got a second, a 25, a 14, a 6 back at the St. Lawrence, a 13 at Toledo Bend, 24 at the Fork, a 6th, at the Classic. His worst tournament was the 43rd at the Harris Chain, and he turns around and wins at Palatka, and now he's in the Rapala Winner's Circle. Corey, you are hot, man. I mean, this is all, that's like 10 tournaments to be really stroking it now.
Yeah, it's been a good go here for a little bit, so hopefully we can keep it rolling.
You know, I mentioned that to Brad talking about momentum because he did not have very good tournaments in Texas, but then turned around and had two good tournaments in Florida. Do you believe in momentum at all in professional fishing where, you know, it just seems like you're pulling up on them everywhere you go right now?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely some guys have it and some guys don't, but, you know, you just get in that groove, and when you start catching them, it just seems like, you know, you keep it rolling for a little while.
Yeah, and it has been rolling for you, no doubt about it. And now you get the win, and then who knows what's next now. This was the only thing missing from your trophy case was a blue trophy, and now you can set it right down next to Chris's, and away you go. You guys work together a lot. You know, we like to try and create sibling rivalry, but it's really not that way, is it? I mean, you know, the two of you were, I think, two of only three guys that were in Salt Springs there, and it seems like you really do pull for each other quite a bit.
Oh, absolutely. You know, we try and work together and do what we can. So, you know, it's if I can't win, I'd love to see him do it.
And now, you know, in the Angler of the Year standings, as we're getting ready to approach, you know, the halfway mark of the season, the two of you are, you know, I think top five, something like that, right there in those standings. That could get a little bit competitive. I mean, I would think that, you know, he's sitting in third and you're sitting in fifth. And, you know, and soon after you get done in Alabama and at Murray, when you guys head for New York and head up north where it's an ATM machine for you, I could see that getting a little bit competitive as it gets down to the stretch for the AOI.
Oh, I'm sure it could be. Yeah, no doubt. We'll see what happens here in the next three before we head north.
Yeah. What made you think Salt Springs, gin clear water? A lot of guys passed on it, obviously, and you ended up in there, and obviously that was the winning deal. What made you think that was the thing to do when so many others, you know, basically ignored it?
Well, I mean, you're in Florida, so there's always going to be spawning bass somewhat, you know, in anywhere from November to, you know, June. And Chris went in there the first morning and seen a bunch. It was perfect conditions. And I went flipping looking for a secondary pattern. Found that, and then I went in there later that afternoon, marked a bunch of fish, and then it started to get real windy. You couldn't see. And then day two, it blew really hard against the current or back into the spring, and the water got real dirty. So anyone that went in there day two wouldn't have seen any of those fish. So that's what kept a bunch of people out.
Were you still surprised that more guys didn't make the effort to be in there? I know you said, I think after day two, that you guaranteed that there would only be two or three guys in there. I didn't know if that meant because you were ready to throw and go all hockey fight on them if they went in there, or if you just knew that there wasn't guys going in there that they were going to respect that you were in there.
Well, I mean, a bit of both, but you know, I only had two guys come in on day two that weren't in there on day one, and you know, lost a bit of respect for them. But you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, you know, talking with Corey Johnson off of his win at the St. John's River here, and by the way, Corey immediately went home and into the woods to do a little turkey hunting. You can't keep an outdoorsman out of the outdoors, no matter you're carrying that $101,000 or so back with you. It doesn't matter. You were going to head for the woods when turkey season opened, right? That's just the way it's going to be.
100%. Today's the opening day, and put a few on the ground today, so. As soon as I'm done this interview, we're going back out and trying to get another young lad of turkey.
Wow, there you go. All right, so I'm just going to try not to hold up Corey Johnson too long from doing it. Now, the ones you put, was that bow or gun? I mean, which way?
No, they were shotgun today.
All shotgun today? Okay, all right, that's good stuff. Yep. All right, you know, here in the Dirty South, it's been, let's see, open since about mid-March. Do you carry a license, by the way, for any other, you know, states like in the country? Because, you know, about the middle of March, it opened in Alabama. You know, you could have gone and gotten your Jones off there, do a little turkey hunting.
Yeah, no, usually we stop by Kentucky and Tennessee, but just the way that the tournaments fell this year, we didn't get a chance to do that.
The deer are all bigger. I'm from upstate New York, as I said, and the deer are bigger up there than they are down south. Do you notice a difference in the other wildlife, in the turkey? Are the turkey bigger in Canada than they are down in the south?
They're easterns where we are, so that, I mean, they're big birds around here. It's all farmland and whatnot, so yeah. They definitely grown big.
Yeah, Corey Johnston with us here. Now, listen, I got to thank you. You really helped. You helped me and a lot of other people out on Sunday morning. I'm waiting for my wife to get ready for church, and you know, takes her about 90 minutes, maybe 2 hours, and takes me 15 minutes. So I'm sitting in the Barker Lounger and I'm watching on Sunday morning. And you decide to pull up on that little pad field in the main river and snag that 7.5-pounder. So I felt fine. By the time I went to church, you know, 9 o'clock, I'm like, I'm good. This guy's won the tournament. I don't have to worry about this anymore. Just talk about that decision. Was that the plan all along, or was that a sudden decision that you made when you were running to stop and check there? Because and then how much pressure that took off of you by getting that fish early like that?
No, that was kind of my game plan right from you know, right from the night before. Okay. I just knew that place was drying up. I knew I didn't need a ton of weight. And that's a stretch that I fished in 2019 and caught some big ones off of. And Chris actually ended up catching two fish that he weighed that week off that stretch as well. And from what I understand, Watley actually caught some big ones off that stretch as well. So it's just a stretch that I've fished, you know, a few times now since we started going to the St. John's, and for whatever reason, it just seems to hold big fish.
Well, it certainly held a big one for you there. You had mentioned that, you know, with the 14-pound lead, that you didn't you had a bit of a restless night the night before. Do you think sleeping on a 2-pound lead or so that it would be more comforting, or, you know, was there more pressure because it was such a big lead? You didn't want to beat a guy that went out there and blew a 14-pound lead on the last day.
No, I mean, I wouldn't say that I lost much sleep. I woke up at about, you know, 3:30, 4 in the morning, and you know, it's there's not a whole lot to think about, really. Just, you know, you just got to go out, fish, hope that you make the right decisions, and that's all you can do.
You win this thing by over 21 pounds. Just take me through your mental state when you do catch that fish, because you catch that fish, and now all of a sudden, you know, I mean, somebody has to do something significant to even come close to me. Some, you know, 35-pound bag or something crazy like that, like what Rick Klund did years ago. Just take me through your thought process once you caught that fish.
I think that was the fourth fish I caught on that little stretch. Caught him pretty quick. And the first one was a pretty good one. It was like 2.5 pounder. And then I caught two real little ones. And then I caught that big one. So I had somewhere around, 13 pounds. So I knew that he was going to have to catch a big bag right at that point. And I knew it was going to be a little tougher day.
Yeah. You did most of your damage, a lot of your damage, flipping a creature bait. And they're a 6 cents tuxin weight with that as well. And a big old Aaron Martin's flipping hook. Talk about your setup for that. And I know you were throwing a drop shot some. We could see that was obvious when you were on those bedding fish as well. Just talk about the way you were going after them.
Yeah, I had a few different approaches. Every fish out there is different. You got to catch them a different way. Some I could visually see, and some I could only see them on the perspective mode on the live scope. So the ones that I could see, a lot of the time, the female would sit just off of the bed, and I would throw that big 6 cents panorama on the bed if I couldn't get her to lock on. And a lot of times it would make the male and the female so mad with that giant bait on it that the female could lock on. And once I could get her real mad, I would switch it up to a 6 cents bongo, flip it in there, and catch her almost first flip every time.
Yeah, that's an amazing strategy. So you didn't actually catch any on a panorama. You would just use the panorama to get them fired up. And that was rigged in such a fashion that, I guess, looking like a dead shad or a dying shad on its side, basically. Is that how it laid in the bed?
Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, I had some bite it, but I didn't set the hook on them just because, I didn't feel comfortable with the hook I had in it. I actually used a pretty small hook in it just so I didn't hook them on it. I just like to hook them on baits that I have confidence in, and that's just kind of the way I do it.
You could have just sent the crew out on Monday to Top 10 and say, go ahead, go on out there now. I'll hang back here. Let's see if you guys can catch me. I mean, 21 pounds. I mean, it's just the second biggest margin of victory ever. I mean, it's just, it had to be so satisfying to win and to win that big where you just absolutely crush the field.
Yeah, I mean, that, it did feel good to win by that much. It's been a long time coming, so to win by a big margin felt even a little sweeter.
So you go off to Murray, and then for the Alabama swing, like I said, fifth in the points right now. Just talk about your approach and your confidence level going into Murray and then Wheeler and Smith Lake.
Well, Murray, I mean, I like that lake. I've only fished it one other time, but I had a good time while I was there, and hoping that I can get along with it again. And Wheeler and Smith, I don't really know what to expect there. So it's just going to be a matter of backing the boat in and practice and going looking.
I'm thinking about Smith Lake on the weekend before 4th of July. That is one of the most populated lakes anywhere in the country, much less in the state of Alabama. I mean, that is going to be nuts. But yet you were fishing in an area in Salt Springs where that's kind of a party cove too. They had some action going on there over the weekend and so on. So, I don't know. One of the patterns might be throwing under pontoon boats that are floating around out there. We're going to have a lot of redneck yacht clubs, if you will, floating around on Smith Lake on the weekend before 4th of July. It's going to be nuts.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy. It's probably be a little dangerous out there, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, we'll just have to wait and see how it goes. Well, I'll tell you what, it's a tremendous win, and congratulations on getting that done. And this is going to be the best thing that happens to you this week, because I just want you to know my Bruins are going to finish off your Maple Leafs here in a not-too-distant future. So by the time the weekend comes, that thing's probably...
That I don't know if I can argue with.
That thing might be just about over. We'll see how that works. By the way, is Chris a Maple Leafs fan as well? I know you guys from Peterborough or live in Peterborough. Is he a Leafs fan too? Okay.
Right. Yep.
So where's the line where you become a Canadiens fan? Do you got to be all the way to Ottawa before you become a Canadiens fan? Or where's that cutoff where a Leaf fan becomes a Canadian fan?
No, that just doesn't happen.
Doesn't happen. Yeah, doesn't happen. I guess you got to be all the way into Quebec before you find the Canadian fan, I guess.
Quebec's like their own country.
Hey, my buddy Greg Wyshynski, who covers hockey for ESPN.com, he predicted Oilers-Leafs in the Stanley Cup final. Can you imagine Canada if the Oilers and Leafs were playing in the Stanley Cup final? I mean, you just shut the country down.
I don't know that that'll ever happen because I don't think the Leafs could make it to the final.
Yeah, well, he thinks they will, but not, maybe not now that they're down 2-1 to Boston. All right, Corey, well, appreciate you, brother. Good job on the win, and we'll be watching the rest of the way. Top three, come on the show, so I might have to call you again. Hopefully for your sake, I do.
There you go. Appreciate it.
Thank you. That's Corey Johnson. He was on not too long ago. He was on the show as well, and he's always great. He's always a willing participant for Bassmaster Radio. All right, we'll get a break in here. We'll come back and wrap it up next. This is Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.
Rapala is one of the most respected names in all of the fishing industry. The finest balsa wood baits with the best action, the DT series, the Brat Squarebills, and the Shad Wrap are all legendary. But did you know that Rapala also makes high-quality rain gear and every kind of fishing accessory you can imagine? Plus, under the Rapala family of brands, you'll find VMC hooks and terminal tackle, Suffix mono, fluoro, and braided lines, Terminator spinnerbaits, jigs, and frogs, plus the Storm Arashi line of baits. Learn more at Rapala.com. That's Rapala.com, and start catching more fish.
Welcome to Minnow King. How can I help you?
Everything looks good. I'm friggin' starving, man. Been spawning all morning.
Ugh, TMI, bro. What do you want?
I'll take a Crush City Freeloader and Gizzard Shad.
Anything to drink?
Water.
Pull ahead, please. Welcome to Minnow King.
We're gonna have what he's had.
Yeah, throw me in a Ned BLT, too.
Pull ahead, please.
Calm down. Quit feeding so much.
Hey, man, I'm trying to, man. If you
overfeed him, he's going to hide under a log.
Hey, gang, Tom Abraham here for my friends at 13 Fishing. I can't tell you how excited I was to learn that two-time Bassmaster Angler of the Year Gerald Swindle had teamed up with the crew at 13 Fishing to build the ultimate rod and reel series that combines quality with a price point that works for all. And right now, we have a tremendous deal for you. The new Metaseries Rods and Inception G2 reels are available at 13fishing.com. And for a limited time, you can get 20% off your entire order by using the discount code BASSRADIO20. That's BASSRADIO20, only at 13fishing.com. Tom Abraham here for my friends at North Alabama Mortgage. Did you know that average home equity is at an all-time high? But so is average consumer debt. Even though rates are higher now, you can use your equity to pay off your high consumer debt, student loans, etc., then refi when the rates drop. Don't put off that new home purchase. When rates drop, prices will go up. Buy now and get the best price and then refi when the rates drop. This is the time to talk to the experts at North Alabama Mortgage. Visit NorthAlabamaMortgage.com for more information.
Thank you for listening to Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio on Sports Byline USA and the Bassmaster Radio Network.
The final segment of Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio is brought to you by Anderson, South Carolina, Green Pond Landing, and beautiful Lake Hartwell. If it didn't exist, you'd have to invent it. It is so gorgeous there. The lake fish is so big and so many options at Lake Hartwell. And Anderson itself, man, just go to visitanderson.com to check it out. What a beautiful town Anderson is. I can't wait to get there in October for the St. Croix Bassmaster Open. That'll wrap up the entire open season at Lake Hartwell, and can't wait to get back out there and do a little fishing. Now, as we idle this show back to the dock, let's take a look at some news and notes from around the pond. Now is your chance to win Kevin Van Dam's Nitro Z21 XL Pro, loaded with Minn Kota and Hummingbird equipment. Just follow Minn Kota and Hummingbird on Instagram and like, comment, and tag any official sweepstakes posts. Post a photo of yourself with a Minn Kota or Hummingbird logo or product on Instagram with hashtag KVD Victory Lap and tag both brands. Just visit minnkota.johnsonoutdoors.com and click on the image for more details. Now it's time for the Omnia Fishing Lake Conditions. Let's take a look at Lake Logan Martin, which is on the Coosa River near Pell City in Alabama. Well, the water is warm with a lot of color in it. It is a shallow river system with not much vegetation. You know, with Omnia Pro, you can look at each lake's unique structure and the current water and weather conditions to see what kind of approach makes the most sense. Omnia Pro members can see current conditions, including water temp, grass, and other conditions on thousands of lakes throughout the country on the Omnia Fishing mobile app. Pro membership is only $49 for the entire year and includes unlimited access to map layers from your phone, plus free shipping on all orders and 10% credit back on purchases. So you get loyalty credits even on sale items. And it gets even better. Go to omniafishing.com/bass to save 20% on membership today just for listening to Bassmaster Radio. So you save $10 on that $49 Omnia Pro membership simply by going to omniafishing.com/bass. Now remember, if you missed any of this week's show, it's always just a click away at bassmaster.com/radio, or just visit bassmaster.com and click on the anglers page and you'll see Bassmaster Radio listed there. Bassmaster Radio is also available at sportsbyline.com and all major platforms including Spotify, TuneIn, and more. So until next time, keep those lines tight and nets heavy. I'm Tom Abraham, and this has been Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.